It was a great wood-ribbed cavern I had come to, which, because Barlow's candlelight reached only so far, melted into blackness fore and aft. I recall being struck by the notion that I was, Jonah-like, in the belly of a whale. The air was heavy, with the pervasive stench of rot that made me gag. "What's that?" I asked, pointing to a cylinder from which pipes ran and to which handles were attached.
"The pump," he said, "in case we take on sea."
In all directions, I saw the kinds of bales, barrels, and boxes I had seen upon the Liverpool docks. The sight was not romantic now. These goods were piled higgledy-piggledy one atop the other, braced and restrained here and there by ropes and wedges, but mostly held in place by their own bulk. The whole reminded me of a great tumble of toy blocks jammed into a box.
"There's more below," Barlow said, observing me look about. "But your trunk's over there."
Sure enough, I saw it up along the alleyway created by two stacks of cargo. "Would you open it, please?" I requested. Barlow undid the hasps and flung open the top. There lay my clothing, wrapped in tissue paper and laid out beautifully. The school maids had done a fine job. A sigh escaped my lips at this glimpse of another world. "I can't take everything," I said.
"Well, miss," Barlow said, "now that you know where it is, you could fetch things on your own."
"That's true," I said, and, kneeling, began to lift the layers carefully. After a while, Barlow said,
"If it pleases, miss, might I have a word?"
"You see, I'm very busy, Mr. Barlow," I murmured. For a moment, the sailor said nothing, though I was conscious of his nervous presence behind me.
"Miss," he said unexpectedly, "you know I spoke out when you first arrived."
"I have tried to forget it, Mr. Barlow," I said with some severity.
"You shouldn't, miss. You shouldn't."
His earnest, pleading tone made me pause. "What do you mean?"
"Just now, miss, the captain put us on display. All that hauling and pulling, it was to no account. Mocking us."
"Mr. Barlow," I interrupted.
"It's true, miss. He's abusing us. And you. Mark my words, no good will come of it."
I pressed my hands to my ears. After a moment, the man said,
"All right, miss. I'll leave you with the candle. You won't go into the hold now, will you?"
"I shall be fine, Mr. Barlow," I declared. "Please leave me." So engrossed was I in my explorations of my trunk that I ceased paying him any attention. Only vaguely did I hear him retreat and ascend the ladder. But when I was sure he was gone, I did turn about. He had set the candle on the floor near where the ladder led further into the hold. Though the flame flickered in a draft, I was satisfied it would burn a while. I turned back to my trunk. As I knelt there, making the difficult but delicious choice between this petticoat and that, searching too for a book suitable for reading to the crew, as the captain had suggested, the sensation crept upon me that there was something else hovering about, a presence, if you will, something I could not define. At first I tried to ignore the feeling, but no matter how much I tried, it could not be denied. Of course, it was not exactly quiet down below. No place on a ship is. There were the everlasting creaks and groans. I could hear the sloshing of the bilge water in the hold, and the rustling of all I preferred not to put a name to, such as the rats Barlow had mentioned. But within moments, I was absolutely certain, though how I knew I cannot tell, that it was a person who was watching me. As this realization took hold, I froze in terror. Then slowly I lifted my head and stared before me over the lid of the trunk. As far as I could see, no one was there. My eyes swept to the right. No one. To the left. Again nothing. There was but one other place to look. Behind. Just the thought brought a prickle to the back of my neck until, with sudden panic, I whirled impulsively about. There, jutting up from the hole through which the hold might be reached, was a grinning head, its eyes fixed right on me. I shrieked. The next moment the candle went out, and I was plunged into utter darkness.